again, it's such a vast, the question, it requires a detailed explanation. And before coming here, I conducted a radio program in South Africa. In South Africa, it's a channel Islam that is related to 45 countries of the world. I have conducted a radio program on that. It's a complete detailed account of Taqleed. But just in very short and brief, an article of that also is in on the website on Taqleed. And I'll also refer you to a very beautiful book that is written by Mufti Taqi Osmani, but Gazilluhu, the name of the book itself is also Taqleed. And I think it was something that was being published over a period of time in some newsletter in Pakistan, and that has been compiled. And many people have removed their doubts on not making Taqleed through this very article. But in very short and brief, let me just explain to get some idea about Taqleed. You see, this aspect of Taqleed, it was Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, He tells us to make Taqleed. Where He tells us? He says us in the Quran Kareem, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكَرْ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ بِالْزَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرْ. That ask those people who know if you don't know. Now immediately here Allah Ta'ala is telling us that if you don't know, and here they are referring to issues of Sharia. And this is understood in the context of this verse. When you look at the verse, Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the context of the Torah, of the Zabur, etc. And obviously the laws of Sharia are mentioned there. So in this verse, Allah Ta'ala is telling us, if you don't know, ask those people who know. So immediately the concept of Taqleed, following a person, comes in. That is general Taqleed. But the question is probably making Taqleed of one specific imam. This is also found in the life of the Sahaba. There was an incident that there was a masla of Hajj that was asked to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they were ruling, and we know the knowledge of Abdullah ibn Abbas was so vast. So he gave a fatwa. The people of Medina Munawwara said that we are not going to leave the fatwa of Mu'adh ibn Jabal because of your fatwa. So this, and this is proven from very authentic narration, it is clear from this that Taqleed al-Shakhsi following one particular imam was even prevalent at the time of the Sahaba as well. Then after that, this carried on. At the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, these are four great jurists. Now it's not mentioned anywhere in the hadith that we must follow these four jurists. It is the Nizam of Almighty Allah Ta'ala, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that they have given them that acceptance, that vast knowledge in the Quran, in the hadith, there are oceans of knowledge. And then the people, they have held on to these imam and to guide them from this imam, not to follow this imam, but to follow the Quran and hadith. Many people have this misconception that you are, where is it mentioned in the Quran and hadith you must follow Imam Abu Hanifa? Yes, it's not mentioned anywhere that you must follow Imam Abu Hanifa. But Allah says that you must ask those who know if you don't know. And these are great imams, they are oceans of knowledge. So you follow them, and you're not following them because as a personality, you're following them because they guide of what is in the Quran and in the hadith. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he was born in the 80th year after Hijri, and he passed away in 150. The same year he passed away, that's the year Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh was born. Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik were contemporaries. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal were also contemporaries. So basically these were the four jurists, and because of the vast knowledge, people in that time and era, they followed them and used them as a guide to make amal on the Quran and on the hadith. Now, again the question would be, why we can't follow any one imam? Why do we have to follow one particular imam? I'll just give you one example. How much knowledge do we have on the Quran and hadith that if there is an apparent inconsistency in different aspects of the Sharia, what criteria are we going to use to to determine who is right, who is wrong, and how we should follow one particular person. An example of that is, take the issue of Salat alone. There's probably about 500 opinions just on the issue of Salat alone. Now, people are engaged in the worldly activities, they go to their job and they come. Generally, the ummah is not so educated. Now, wouldn't it be better to follow the opinion of one particular imam for the purposes of at least convenience? Because we don't have so much of knowledge, and in the absence of that knowledge, it simply becomes so easy that you rely on the knowledge of one particular person and you adhere to whatever he says. That will seem very much easy and convenient for us. And that's exactly what we even do in worldly issues as well. When it comes to like differences of opinion among advocates, lawyers, etc., so you take your opinion from one lawyer and you go by it. But you won't go by so many different lawyers and keep on getting opinion upon opinion, and then apply your own criteria to determine which lawyer is right or which lawyer is wrong. That's the attitude we have when it comes to worldly issues in a matter of Sharia that are more important, especially in the absence of having the adequate knowledge to determine who is right and who is wrong. But a detailed explanation of this, it is on the website, on Taqleed, and if somebody reads that, after reading that, if anyone has any particular question, after reading that article, then I'll be happy to receive that.